Hello, and welcome to the DS Smith announcement. My name is Jess, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions, and this can be done by pressing star one to register your question at any time. If at any point you require assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand over to your host, Miles Roberts, to begin today's call. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and firstly, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined with Adrian Marsh, our CFO. So our statement today covers two topics. Firstly, that we have reached agreement to sell our plastics division, and secondly, our Q3 trading statement, which relates to the period of trading since the 1st of November 2018. So starting with plastics, this is a process that began last year, and I'm pleased to say that we have reached agreement to sell the division to Olympus Partners, who also own Liquibox, for $585 million, approximately 450 million pounds, which represents a 9.9x EBITDA multiple based on the last 12 months of trading. We expect the transaction to close in the calendar H2, and the net proceeds after tax, et cetera, to be around 400 million pounds. And this sale is another step in our strategy to focus on sustainable packaging, and it, at the same time, it accelerates our financial deleveraging in line with our medium-term targets. And I'm delighted to have agreed this financially and strategically attractive deal. Moving to our Q3 update, trading has continued to be strong in line with our expectations. We continue to see good corrugated box volume growth with continued market share gains driven by the quality of our offering to large and e-commerce customers and our FMCG-weighted customer base. And the Christmas period has been especially busy for our e-commerce-focused customers, with our sector-leading offering supporting our customers over this critical period. Our U.S. business, we acquired in 2017, continues to perform well with strong margins and returns well ahead of our acquisition case. And group margins, our margins overall, are expected to progress further in the second half of our financial year, and operating cash flow generation is stronger than in the comparable period last year. And lastly, In the period, we completed our acquisition of Europac on the 22nd of January. It's great to get started on the integration, and I'm very pleased how this has been going. The customer and our new colleague reaction has been everything that we hoped it would be. So in summary, we're pleased with the performance of the business in the second half of the year to date. And while macroeconomic conditions remain uncertain, we're confident of continued strong demand for our innovative and high-quality sustainable packaging and the resilience of our FMCG-focused customer base. At the same time, the sale announced today will further strengthen our robust balance sheet, and the board continues to view the prospects for the business with confidence. I'd now like to invite questions, which either Adrian or myself will answer. Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star two. Please ensure your line remains unmuted locally and you will be introduced into the call. So the first question comes from the line of Alexander Mees from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Miles, Adrian. Well done on getting this done. A couple of questions. Just firstly, with regard to the balance sheet, I wonder how you think about your capacity to fund further acquisitions, whether you think you'll be in a position to do that on a bolt-on nature in the short term. And the second question is with regard to the divestment itself. I wonder if you can just touch on the nature of the conditions, particularly around regulatory approval, and whether there's any conditionality, I suppose, in terms of getting this thing done from your perspective. Thank you.
If I take the first one, Adrian, you can run, if you're happy, running through the conditions, but it's pretty straightforward. So just on the acquisitions, look, we've at the moment we are very focused on. Obviously, we've got to complete this the divestment, which we're absolutely fine with. We said H2, that should be fine. It's very early stages of the Europac, and there's a lot of work to do there. But as I said, we're very pleased with that. We've also got the ongoing drive of the US, which is going very well. But as you know, we're building a new greenfield there, and really continuing to fully exploit the synergies we're getting out of that business. So I have to say, you know, that's where our immediate focus is. There's no doubt in the medium term there's some outstanding opportunities for DS Smith to continue to grow both organically and through M&A. But that is very much, I think, in the medium term as we really focus on repaying the trust our shareholders have put in us in the acquisitions that we've made. That's going to be the focus. And I think you'd expect to see the group carry on. The cash generation's good. We've got the remedy disposals as well. We've got two businesses we're selling there. So the balance sheet's going to strengthen. But the focus in the business is to deliver against the recent acquisitions. But Adrian, on the divestment itself, in terms of conditions?
Yeah, there's no conditions on us. It's a hell or high water transaction. So the seller needs to clear and remedy any antitrust. Not that I think anyone's really expecting anything of any note, but yes, that's clearly on them. So from our perspective, it's clean. We think it's obviously, as Miles said, an excellent transaction. You know, we're very pleased to get it away as a division. I mean, from an execution complexity from us, that's as we said from the start, that makes it a lot cleaner from our perspective. And we're very happy with the proceeds. And as Miles said earlier, you know, we've been very clear on deleveraging, very clear on the focus that we're going to be applying to driving hard the synergies as quickly as we can with Europac, which are going well, and building on the excellent progress of Interstate. So, you know, we've got our hands pretty full at the moment.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, and well done again.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Cole Hathorn from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
If you're talking, Cole, we can't hear you.
Yeah, I'll try and answer that one.
Sorry about that, Miles. I just wanted to get a little bit more of an update on trading by region, if you could provide some colour between Spain and the various different geographies.
Yes. Well, look, all regions are in growth. In fact, this is the 18th half year. If you look over the last 6 months, 45th half year, quarter, etc., where we've seen a continued like-for-like growth, and all regions are in growth. As you know, we're very focused on FMCG. Some markets, such as, say, France, we're well over 80% in that market, and we continue to grow there. So pretty much across the board, yeah, good continued growth. There's no doubt when we look outside of our sort of FMCG sector, I mean, it's a very small part of our business. It represents less than a fifth of the group, but there's clearly been some limited weakness there. So in places like Germany, and we're not very exposed to it at all, but we've seen car production and things like that come under some pressure, capital equipment. But for us, in where we are, the FMCG continues to grow, and all regions in growth, but some localised softness in, say, in some of the more sort of capital goods markets, a bit of construction. I think pretty much as the news flow is general sort of economic conditions. But that this is exactly the reason why we focus so much in the food and drink and FMCG sector. Markets go up and down, and we built sort of resilience into our customer base, and it continues to deliver.
And Miles, and to start putting through your volumes in your new Europac business, because I know you were going to build a box plant in that region before you bought Europac.
That's right.
When can you start putting that overflow of volumes through the Europac business?
Yeah. Well, look, as you know, we have quite a very strong integration capability. A lot of work and planning has already been done. Obviously, we can't start talking to customers or really understand their customer base until we'd acquired the business because of the antitrust restrictions. But now we're in there. And there's already started to be some movement as we start to shift production around, trying to get some of the logistics savings. That's already happening. But I think for that to happen at real sort of scale, it's going to be 6 months before that really comes through. But there are already some movements. If you look at their paper assets as well, they're already being planned and run centrally. So again, we're starting to pick up on the initial synergies that we've been planned. And as I said, we're very pleased with the with how that's going. We'll outline much more to shareholders once you've been through our first sort of integration period at the end of our financial year. But it's going well.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Justin Jordan from Exane. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone, and well done, gents, on the disposal of the plastics business. Can I just ask a little bit on current trading and, I suppose, trading outlook for the period beyond, shall we say, April 19? Clearly, we've seen European containerboard prices fall by 55 euros a tonne or 7 to 9%, whether it's virgin or recycled containerboard. I'm just trying to understand the potential impact of that on DS Smith in fiscal 20. On a pro forma basis, including Europac. Clearly in the 18 months ending October 18, you had a 360 million EBIT benefit from price increases. I'm just trying to understand on a pro forma basis going forward, excluding plastics, excluding the US, you are about a 6 billion sterling revenue business per annum. A 1% box price move then on a gross basis would be about 60 million of EBIT. Appreciate you're some 20% short containerboard on a pro forma basis post-Europac, and then clearly you would have the benefit of reduced OCC costs, which are down 10 euros a ton. But I'm trying to understand what else mitigating factors would help, because as I work it out, there's something like a 35 to 40 million EBIT impact of a 1% box price move. Your peer, Smurfit Kappa, talks about, I think it's 45 to 50 million euro hit. So I'm just trying to understand what the similar like-for-like number for you is, please.
Yeah, look, obviously we've got there are a number of things. So in terms of our business, as you know, we've got a big US business. Prices haven't moved there.
Sure, we're excluding the US.
Anyway, doesn't. Well, I thought you said the 6 billion. Well, anyway, if you look at the overall group, we've got a big US business and our prices haven't moved there. I think when we look at our European business, you're right. There has been some recent downward pressure in various grades of paper. You have to look very much at the individual markets and where they're moving. I mean, it's not across the board. Each region's moving differently. As you say, there are quite a few other factors about ongoing efficiency, ongoing growth in our top line. Then you're into how your contracts are structured and the proportion that we call a freely traded and what are indexed. So there are a whole number of different moves there. What we have seen is some of the paper weakness. We're absolutely fine. As you know, we've got a short paper position. We'll just have to see how these paper prices go. But I really think to say this amount is going to mean this amount of box prices, and therefore this amount comes through to our bottom line. It just isn't the way it works. We've shown previously people were talking about paper prices increasing and it was going to put a lot of pressure on us, but we showed how we could recover those. We recovered every penny. We've shown how the improving efficiency of the group, the top line growth, kept the group growing and our margins intact. And looking forwards, whilst prices have fallen, this isn't out of line with some of our expectations that we've already set for next year. So let's see where it goes, Justin. But there are many more factors to this than some of the variables you set. And we're not sort of raising alarm bells about next year at all. We're not saying that in the slightest. There's good underlying growth and good efficiency coming through, and the paper prices are falling very differently in different markets.
Yeah, as you say, Miles.
Adrian?
Yeah, I haven't seen, I mean, I know you mentioned it earlier, Justin, I haven't seen the number put out by Smurfit, but I'm guessing that's a full year effect. I've no idea how they built it, whether they just made a mathematical calculation, which is relatively easy to do, but doesn't take account of all of the different factors that Mars raises. And, you know, one of the most important things is all other things remaining constant during that 12-month period. So, you know, my 6 years, I don't know the period where all things remain constant. What I do know is that we work particularly hard to deliver on numbers, to manage margin, to retain benefits, work with our customers on it. And when paper prices rise, it's gone up to drive those through. And it's about, rather than being a pure transactional business, working through the whole relationship. And what else can you do? How do you build it? So it would be highly unusual for us to put out a clear correlated number like that. Obviously, we do on exchange rates because that is purely mechanical. But this really isn't. But I haven't seen what anyone else has done, to be honest.
Okay, just one quick follow-up, just a factual question, which hopefully you can help with. I'm trying to understand on a pro forma basis, including Europac, clearly post its January 22nd completion. If we just exclude your large and growing US business for a second, just specifically in Europe, am I right in thinking your pro forma production is approximately 3.5 million tons of containerboard and your pro forma consumption is about 4.5 million tons of containerboard, i.e. you're short about a million tons on a pro forma basis, assuming annualized effect today? No, that's excluding interstate.
Today, yes, that's about right. I mean, they're different
right, so
grades. But
no, I appreciate there's all sorts of different grades. But let's with, as you say, with Europac, yes.
That's right. About a million tonnes at the moment, yeah.
At the moment, right. So you're approximately 80% self-sufficient for your containerboard requirements in Europe.
A million on... Yes.
And then clearly slightly higher than that, including interstate.
Interstate is now more about... Yeah, I mean, the US is a very different market. That's a different market. But, as you know, in the US, we're far more balanced in our business there.
Okay. That's just why I'm excluding it. So just give you some factual stuff here then. So you're 20% short paper for European business then. Would you agree with that number?
Right. We're going to get into all the different grades and the different regions. But if you just say we've got our... Well, see, this year your 4.5 isn't going to be right because we haven't given you the growth. That was on last year's number, not on this year's number with Europac. So I think if you look at the growth, it's going to be more than that. So the integration is going to be somewhere in the 70s on the current mix of assets. On the current mix.
Okay. So just on that then, can you update us on trade stories of potential mill disposals in Europe?
No, other than we're always looking at our portfolio of assets. As you can see with this, we plastics has been we've announced the intended disposal of it, and we continue to look at some other at all of our assets, and if we can, if they're worth more to other people than they're worth to our shareholders, then obviously we'll be having a good look at them, and that includes mills as well.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks, Miles.
There are currently no further questions in the queue, so as one last reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. It appears that there are no further questions, so I'll hand back over to your hosts.
Well, so thank you very much, everybody, for your time. As I said, we are very pleased to announce the sale of the plastics division, and very pleased with the current trading, the integration of Europac to date, and the performance of our US business. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets.